Oh, yeah. Sure. bless you.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We bless your name this evening, O Lord, because we can feel your presence in our midst.
Yes.
We came empty, O Lord, with expectation, Heavenly Father, but we can feel that we are being filled by the Spirit.
Amen.
It's a foretaste of what you are going to do for us tonight.
Yes.
That's why we praise your name. We commit the service into your hands, O Lord. Be the speaker, be the listener.
Amen.
As we commit everything into your hands, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image.
Amen.
In the image of God created him. Male and female created him then. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the living things that move upon the earth.
Amen.
And God said, behold, I give you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed.
Amen.
To you it shall be for meat.
Amen.
And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the earth, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had in it, and behold, it was very good.
Amen.
And the evening and the morning were the sixth day.
Amen.
The second reading will be Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen. Amen.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart.
Amen.
And you shall find rest unto your soul.
Amen. Amen.
For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Amen.
Our last reading will be Colossians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Amen.
Amen.
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God,
Amen.
Who loved me and gave himself for me.
God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
We will carry on what we started last time. Because last month, I think Brother Maxwell started something that inspired me a lot. So I learned a lot of things on that great sermon. So God just kept revealing himself through the line of that sermon. So I'd like to keep to stay under the leadership of the Holy Ghost to keep on that line. Last time we were talking about God's rest, how God rested on the seventh day. Today we are going to speak about the rest of the believer. Because it was not only God who rested, but the believer also To him it is promised the rest. So you are going to see how a believer can access that rest of God.
Amen.
We see in the beginning that God, when he created earth and heaven, after all the creation, the seventh day, God was so happy. From heaven, when he could look down, he saw his own image. He saw himself reflected in the creation he has made. He was so happy that he took a rest. He said, now everything is fine. I need to rest now. It was not only him who rested, but his son as well, because he was the reflection of God. Adam was the image of God. Since God took a rest, the image of God must be in rest as well.
Amen.
So his own image on earth, God made them to be on rest. If we read the reading we have read in Genesis, we don't see anywhere God telling them to work and in any kind of job. God just told them, I give you. I'll give you this for food. I'll give you authority. I give you dominion. I give you this. Subdue, do this, do that. It was all dominion. It was all power. It was all reign. It was all rest.
Amen.
There was nowhere where God told them, do this if you want to get that. I have done it. I give you. And it was perfect rest.
Amen.
Adam didn't have to do anything to please God, because he was in the image of God himself. There was nothing that it was required him day after day. It was nothing that was required to him to do to please God. It was God's own life in Adam that was producing that image of God and renewing itself every day. So it was a complete rest, physically and spiritually. Adam didn't have to do anything to please God. And it was so, he had dominion. He had authority because he was sitting under the authority of the tree of life itself. He was eating from the tree of life, the presence of God, the Shekinah glory, as Brother Branham says. It was coming every evening to visit Adam in the garden and give them the portion of mercy they needed for that day. So they had the glory of the Shekinah itself coming to visit them every day. So it was a complete rest. It was a very good, perfect image. God on one side resting because he had achieved what was in his mind, and his image on earth reigning, ruling, and at rest. It was a perfect peace. But things were not going to stay like that way.
Amen.
Because there was someone else who wanted to bring his own plan on the scene. So God told them to dress the earth. If you read in Genesis 2:15, he gave them a command. The only thing he asked them to do was to dress the earth and look after it. Someone may say, okay, but you just said that there was no job to do, there was no labor, but how will they be able to dress the earth as God recommended? Because dressing the earth, suppose you need to do something. But the prophet today showed us how they were intended to dress the earth, to look after the earth. It was not by labor, it was not by the force of their body, but Brother Branham says, in the bridge between the ages and the seeds, he says, Adam has the power of the spoken word because it was the image of God. If God created all the universe by the spoken word, God didn't use his muscular power to do whatever, he spoke the word. But Adam says, if Adam, we are going to read it, in the breach, Adam says, now, when he lost his life, he also lost his inheritance in life, because he had completely supreme control on the earth. He was a god of the earth. God was the god of universe. everywhere, but his son has had this earth under his own control. He could speak, he could name, he could say, he could stop nature, he could do anything he wanted to. Now, Adam could say, let this mountain here be moved over there, and it will do it. Adam could say, let this tree here be plucked up and planted over there, it will be so. For he had complete supreme control as a minor god under God our Father, because he was the Son of God. So that the way the things were supposed to be done. He had to subdue, he had to dress the earth through the power of the spoken word.
Oh, amen.
He was just controlling everything from the spoken word. That's why everything Adam did before the fall, it was just naming the animals, naming the nature, and what I want to say, controlling everything. You three, move from there, go there. You go from there. It was a complete rest. It was a very perfect image. And they were sitting with the presence, in the presence of the tree of life.
Hallelujah.
But a few days later, the enemy came. We know what happened. And that picture was broken. God's rest was disturbed. Adam and Eve's rest was disturbed too. They were cast out of the garden. And the Bible says, when they were cast out of the garden, God placed cherubims to protect, to hinder them from getting access to the tree of life again.
Amen.
We don't see the cherubims when they were in the garden. There's no cherubims in the picture. It's only when they get out of the garden that they started seeing the cherubims preventing them from getting access to the tree of life. So where were the cherubims before? They were sitting in the presence of the Shekinah glory itself. They couldn't see the cherubims because the cherubims were protecting that Shekinah glory. The tree of life was, they were sitting in the middle of the tree of life. The cherubims were, because in the vision, Prophet Ezekiel and Isaiah, they saw the throne of God. Even John, he saw the throne of God. He saw the cherubims protecting the throne of God. Since they were sitting in the presence of God himself, they couldn't see the cherubims because they were under the wings of those same cherubims protecting the tree of life. Now they've been moved out of that same presence. They were not prevented to go back. They could see the cherubims with swords preventing them from getting over there. From the place they were sitting, resting, the only way to go back, it was through the cherubims. But it was prevented to them to go because of sin.
That's right.
Now, man started trying to find a way, because before the picture was perfect rest, the power of the spoken word, no work at all, God had done it. To please God, he didn't have anything to do. But after the fall, they had to do something to please God. It was now a labor. You have to do something. We see it with Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
They have to come, because we can't see Adam anywhere going to burn an offering. It was not, that was not the contract. That was not the covenant with God. God has done it that day. But Cain and Abel, they have now to start doing something, their own works, to please God. But it was not the way. They started laboring. Men do it all over the ages, all over the Old Testament. Men started doing something, laboring, trying to do this and that to please God. But that was not the initial plan of God. That was when Jesus came. He said to them in Matthew 11:28, come to me, you that are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Because Jesus came to restore, to bring us back to that condition under the tree of life. That was the initial plan. You have to go back to that place where you couldn't labor. It was complete rest. And the man, the tree of life, they were sitting under in the garden of Eden. He came himself down and he was presenting himself to them, telling them that the way that was hidden, that was shut by the cherubims in the garden, it's open to you now.
Come
and you will recover that rest that you have lost in the garden.
Amen.
It was so simple. They just couldn't see it. But Jesus was that tree of life that the cherubims were protecting in the garden.
Amen.
He came on earth. He wanted now to show that whatever you have tried to do, it couldn't restore that condition of rest that we had, that condition of perfect fellowship I had with you in the beginning. Now it's not based on you, it's based on me. I have done it. I've come now to restore it. That's why Brother Branham shows us that what is really a Christian life. In the inner veil, he says, and now I find that people so struggle. It seems like I meet people and they say, it's just such a struggle.
Amen.
Have you seen people that way? And probably there's many sitting right here before now. That has the ups and downs, the ins and outs. This day they are all right. You meet them and when they love the Lord today, and tomorrow they are having such a struggle to hold on. Now that is what I find around most Christians like. I hate to say it that way, but it's true. The most people that can profess Christianity, they seem to have such a hard struggling time to hold on. I believe it's because of lack of correct teaching of the Bible. It's showing that many people today, because Jesus is not a liar. He said, come to me, I give you rest. So if we come to Christ, we will find complete rest in him. It won't be up to us to produce the work. He has done it for us. Christian life shouldn't be something that we, today, I'm okay, I feel well, I'm in the joy of the Lord. Tomorrow, I'm down, I'm trying to do this to please God. When you come over to Christ, it should be a complete rest. Because he said so. Now, what does he say? The Christian's faith is based solidly upon rest.
Amen.
That's right. A Christian is not tossed about. A Christian doesn't run from place to place. A Christian doesn't fuss and fume and worry about things. A Christian rests. It's all over. It's all finished for the believer. It can be.
Amen.
Sickness may come and disappointment, but the Christian is at rest.
Amen.
Knowing this, that God is able to keep that which he has performed.
Amen.
Knowing that no matter what the thing is or how it looks, there is neither sickness, sorrow, death, there is neither starvation or anything that can separate us from the love of God.
Amen.
Christian's life is based on rest.
Amen.
It's not something you have to do. But now what Abraham is saying, he finds in his ministry true believers. It's not people that trying to pretend to be Christian, but true believers, they struggle to hold on. Life is not as the Bible says, that it should be a complete rest. It shouldn't be them trying to portray something, but it should be Christ doing the work.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. That's it.
But
Amen.
How come many Christians struggle to hold on, to live a Christian life? Well, I want to preach many messages based upon this principle. You find how are people so tossed about? Hidden life in Christ. Why is it difficult for Christians to live a Christian life? He preached many titles based upon this principle of many Christians that struggle to live a Christian life. He said, why is it that way? Because Jesus said he will give you rest. But he's showing us that the problem is because of lack of good teaching. Because your attitude He says, and now you ought to understand that what you, your fruit tree are. Did you ever know that that little cherry tree or little apple tree, when you set it out, when it's no bigger than about 1/2 inch tall, that every bushel of apple, of apples that you'll ever collect off that tree is right in it then. The only thing that little tree does, you just set it out and water it. And it has to drink and drink until it gets so much. It just goes to pushing out, drink more than its loaded portion. And it swells out, it pushes out limbs, pushes out bark and bear fruit. The only thing it has to do is just keeps drinking, drinking, drinking,
amen,
till it just pushes out.
Amen.
And that's what the Christian does. When you are planted in Christ Jesus, everything that you have need of in the earth journey is in you when you receive the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the only thing you have to do is drink. Drink and push out.
Amen.
Push out. Just drink till you can't drink no more. It's all drinking, resting, peace. It's not what you struggle and strive and pull at. You defeat the very purpose that you are representing when you do that. The thing is, you have to just sit, eat, drink.
Amen.
But one would say, why did you say that? Because, of course, I eat. I stand in the presence of the Lord. Every day I go to church, I read the Bible, and sincerely you do it. You read your Bible, you try to be a good Christian, but even though you follow all this that is said here, but you still struggle. Things don't seem to be the way it's supposed to be. But I want to say there is something to it.
Amen.
That's why what we are going to see tonight.
Amen.
It's showing that there is a problem in our experience.
Amen.
Because eating is good, drinking is good, but there is a problem. From where are you eating?
That's right.
Amen.
That's after his diagnosis as a prophet, he saw that the problem is the place you are standing when you are eating.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to explain it. Can Sister put that in there? Eh?
Amen.
You are talking about the manna in the first journey, how they came out of in Egypt, in the wilderness. God asked Moses to build the tabernacle as we know it. And manna started falling. It depended now from where you were when you were eating the manna. There were some people who were standing there and they were eating their manna from there. Because this is the outer court.
That's right.
There you have the holy place.
Mm-hmm.
And there you have the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
Now, if you are standing here and eating the manna from there, what Abraham says, it was the same manna that was eaten here. You could eat it there, and you could eat it there. It was exactly the same manna. There was no difference.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference was the person, the man or woman who was eating it from here, or from here, or from there, it was what kind of influence they were under when they were eating that manna.
Mm-hmm.
Because God told Moses, the same manna that will fall over here, there was a pot there that he told Moses to pick the same manna and put it under that pot.
Right.
And if you can see, in the holies of the most holy place, there were the ark and there was two cherubims with their interlocked wings protecting the ark. So that manna that Moses picked up from here, he brought it over there. The Bible says that manna wouldn't perish.
Mm-hmm.
Because the manna over here, it was just staying 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Because the next day, the other manna was to fall again.
Yeah.
They would pick it. So the man here would eat manna and The next morning is going to be hungry again. And then you need the manna to fall out, to fall down again. He couldn't keep the manna for the next day because it's going to get contaminated.
That's right.
So the manna has to keep falling on and on and on. And then that person, his experience of the manna was different from the experience of the man who was eating the manna there. Because over there, the manna was sitting under the presence of the Shekinah glory. That manna wouldn't perish. That manna over there wouldn't get contaminated. That manna over there was eating it, was standing in the presence of God himself, and it was empowered by the power of God himself. So, someone was eating it here, but one of them shows that today we've got people who are eating the same manna. We are partaking of the same Holy Spirit, but they are eating it from here.
Yes.
We got someone over there eating the manna from there, and the person who go a bit further to the first, to the third room where the Shekinah glory was sitting.
Yeah.
And there, remember we spoke about the Garden of Eden. When God cast them out, he put the cherubims to protect them from not getting access to the tree of life again.
Yeah.
And when he told Moses to make the ark, he brought the same cherubims that he placed in the Garden of Eden. Because there was sitting the tree of life, the bread of life. Because the bread here was the bread that they could eat today and get hungry tomorrow again.
Yes.
But this bread here, when you eat it, you won't get hungry again. It was life sitting in there.
Amen.
That same life that was in the Garden of Eden,
Amen.
Where God placed the cherubim to protect it so that they couldn't get access again.
Sure.
He placed the same cherubim here.
Amen.
So, the cherubim were there to protect them because their sin wouldn't permit them to get there.
That's right.
The same image we saw in the Garden of Eden, God brought it in the wilderness when they built the tabernacle.
Amen.
He showed them that same tree I didn't want you to get access to in the Garden of Eden is walking with you today in the form of the manna that I'm keeping there. If you have access here, you will have eternal life.
Amen.
But your condition of sin doesn't authorize you to get in there. That's why the same cherubims that were in the garden are still here to prevent you from accessing there with your conditions of sinner.
Amen.
So, it was only one person who could get access there. Because God wanted to get in touch with man again. He didn't want to break that bridge. Even though the rest was broken. Even though man was not allowed to get into his presence again. But to keep that bridge, he wanted to find a way so that at least one man could come and do something for him because he had a bigger image. Before that time came, he wanted to keep things going. So the high priest had to sanctify himself, to prepare himself so that once a year, he would go into that presence.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But even if he had to go there, it was not a rest similar to what Adam had in the garden.
Mm.
Because if he didn't, he wasn't worthy. If he came in an unworthy way,
Amen.
He would die then.
Yes.
Mm.
So it was still based upon his words.
Mm.
He had to sanctify himself.
Mm.
He had to live a certain life. He had to do things in a certain way for him to get into the presence of God.
That's right.
It was not, even though he could still once a year access there in the presence of God,
Amen.
It was not rest yet.
Amen.
Because it was still based on words.
Mm-hmm.
So, the way back to the garden, the way back to the tree of life, was there, they could see the cherubims were there, they could see that the tree of life is there, but the access was not still open.
Mm-hmm.
There were still too many requirements for them to get there. Mm-hmm. All those requirements were based upon their words.
Amen.
Now, God carry on working because it is only way he wanted, the only way man could rest. He wanted to rest. For him to rest, man has to be in his own image. You remember what we saw last time.
Mm.
Man has to be in the image of God for God to rest.
Mm.
For that man to be in the image of God, he has to be brought to the place where he was in the presence of God. So God was now trying to find a way for him to do it. And then Jesus came, the tree of life himself walking.
Amen.
We saw these cherubims in the garden, guarding the way to the tree of life. We've seen them in the garden, in the wilderness, when they built the tabernacle, protecting them, preventing them from getting access to the tree of life because they didn't have the right attitude. Jesus came to earth. What do we see again? The day of his rebirth, the cherubims came down again. The same cherubims that were protecting the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, to show that the same tree of life that was in the garden is born again in a human form, the cherubims came to sing. To protect, to show that we are following that tree. It was in the Garden of Eden, it was in the wilderness, but today it's born in the human flesh. And they came to show that God is still in the job of dealing with the human being, trying to make them get back to where they were before.
Amen.
So, he started now to check if the men were ready to get back, because if seen in the Old Testament, I've done this, they still couldn't. I've done that, they still couldn't. But now let me go, make it so simple. The tree of life that they couldn't access, where the cherubims were protecting, now the tree of life is a human being walking on the street. So simple that anyone who wants to come, he can come. He could stand in front of them and say, come unto me.
Amen.
Come and drink. Come and eat. Because this bread here, the high priest only could get here once a year.
Amen.
And eat and come back.
Thank you.
But today, the bread that was sitting there, I'm the bread of life today.
Amen.
You don't need to get there anymore. You don't need to purify or whatever anymore.
Thank you.
Standing here in front of you.
Amen.
Come to me, eat of me, and you'll have rest.
Amen.
But men wanted still to have something to do. Because he was so used to sin, he was so used, he broke the bridge between him and God, so that he wanted always to have something to do, so that he can get back to the presence of God. But Jesus came and told us that that's not the way. Christian life is based upon rest. You need to come to me. So, one day, Jesus was preaching in his ministry. In John 6, we see people were sitting. It's everybody knows that the scripture is about when you multiply the bread and meat. People were sitting there. They got hungry and they couldn't. He asked the disciples, "What can we do for this?" Say, "We have no money to buy them food." Say, "What do you have?" Say, "No, we have a guy here. We have 5 breads and 2 fishes." He said, "Okay. Bring it to me. We know everything." They multiply the bread. They ate the bread. They were happy and everything. But they forgot. For them, it was only that physical bread they were eating. But Jesus wanted to show them that the experience that was, what happened in the wilderness, when the manna was falling, the fathers were focused only on eating that physical manna.
Amen.
To have life every day and get to eat today and be hungry tomorrow, eat today and be hungry tomorrow. He wanted to show them that experience of your fathers eating the manna in the desert is not enough.
That's
today,
right.
We need to go a step further.
Amen.
So while they're sitting with them, they were happy eating the manna, but they forgot that there were 3 stages in eating the manna. In the Old Testament, you could eat the manna from here, you could eat it from there, or you could eat it from there. But they forgot that this, the Holy of Holies, was now sitting in their midst. So they were eating the manna, but they couldn't realize that the holiest of the holies was sitting in their midst. The cherubims were surrounding Jesus wherever he was. The throne itself came on earth and was walking in their midst.
Amen.
So, like the forefathers, they kept on, they were happy eating the manna. But instead of making one step further, they just were happy to stay there.
That's right.
They ate the manna there. They ate there. They were happy. The Bible says they couldn't even finish it. They were so full. They took the all the remaining and everything. But the next morning, they were hungry again. They started, where is Jesus? Where is he? We saw him. His disciple went that way, but we didn't see him going with them. He must be. They started looking for him. Why? Because they just ate their manna from here.
That's right.
And they got hungry the next morning.
That's right.
So, for them, that ritual that their forefather did in the wilderness, they wanted that dance to be started again.
That's right.
Manna today, manna tomorrow, manna tomorrow, get hungry again. Revival today, I'm happy. You go to church, you are happy.
That's
God
right.
bless me. And tomorrow, same to the same person again. You get a blessing today. Tomorrow you want some kind of blessing to God to come again, because it's not something that's staying. They were there eating. They were happy that Jesus gave us bread. They were eating their bread. But the holiest of the holiest was sitting there.
Amen.
In their midst.
Amen.
So instead of just eating that manna, Jesus was trying to show them, you have to eat the manna which I am. Because I am the bread of life.
Amen.
And that bread that you need to eat today is not that bread that the physical bread that I multiply today with you, but you have to come into me. But they failed to see it. The next morning they went, Lord, give us some bread again. Now Jesus also said to them, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him has God the Father sealed. He was showing them that your father, you are making the same mistakes your father did.
Yeah.
They ate the manna. The next morning, the manna was contaminated.
Right.
Today, you are coming to ask me for the meat that perish. Why I can give you the meat that will stay for eternal life? You are still failing to see. So, then they asked him in John 6:28. Then they said unto him, what shall we do?
Hallelujah.
When Jesus told them, come to me and give you rest, then they are asking, what shall we do? They're still stuck in that old ritual of doing something to please God. Jesus didn't come to tell them, do this or do that.
Amen.
He said to them, come to me,
Amen.
I will give you rest.
Amen.
It's not based on what you will do. My rest is based on believing my word.
Amen.
They said, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on me, who he has sent.
Amen.
It was so simple, they couldn't understand that holiest of the holies, where the holy priest, the high priest, could get only once a year, and if he was not well prepared, he could get killed, that holiest of the holies was sitting in their midst and so simply asking them, come to me, I'll give you rest. For them, it was too high for them. They couldn't understand that.
Amen.
And they said therefore unto him, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, and it, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and give life unto the world.
Amen.
They said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread.
Amen.
And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Mm. He that come to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Mm. But I say unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. Mm. So the bread was sitting there in their midst. They were happy to eat the bread over there. But when it comes to that true bread that gives eternal life, that was sitting there, it was too much for them.
That's right.
So they were still happy to eat their bread. That's why the prophet says, in Why Are People So Tossed About? He said, notice this, how God sits in the God sits in the church and what he does. Mm. You are eating the same manner. Here was one word of justification. No man can come to Christ unless the Holy Spirit calls him.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is God, and you know it. No man can. It's the same Holy Ghost. And these people out there in the justified state, a fella is trying to serve God out here in the court, was eating the same kind of manna they were that's on the inside of the holiest of the holies. But the thing of it was, it runs out.
That's right.
It got contaminated.
Amen.
Now the man could eat here. He was all right, but he got hungry really quick. Mm. That's the way with the people saying, I just can't hardly hold. You are not far enough in yet. You come to the holy place. What Aaron, the high priest, when once a year anointed, went in behind the curtain, and when the curtain dropped behind him, the world was shattered. So, the secret was not to eat the manna then. The secret was to go behind
him. Amen.
And the prophet is showing us that Jesus was trying to call, was trying to show that it's not based on your words anymore.
That's right.
The way to eternal life is open to every man, to every single woman who wants to come. But The only way to recover that rest is to stand in the presence of the tree of life again.
Amen.
The giver of the tree of life was in their midst, but they were failing to recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
They were failing to recognize the way he had provided for them to come back to the communion again. That's why in John 6, Icarion said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has its everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Many therefore of this, in verse 60 he says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this,
Amen.
Said, this is a hard saying. Yes. Who can hear it?
Amen.
Because when you are here, you are still influenced by what's going on around you.
That's right.
You are still influenced by what you hear, what you see, because the world over here, over there, Baravanam says, this curtain was soundproof. This curtain, when the high priest would go behind that curtain, all the noises, all the murmuring, whatever was going on around the camp, it couldn't be heard there.
Sure.
So that's what was making this manna so particular.
Amen.
Because you were eating it in the presence of the Shekinah glory. You were eating it in the presence of the Ark, God himself. And you were soundproof. Whatever was being said there,
right,
couldn't influence you at all.
Amen.
You were in a complete rest.
Amen.
Over there.
Amen.
But
right.
As long as you didn't make the steps to go over there, because over here, what Abraham says, is still that believer who is halfway, one step in the world, one step in the word of God. So Whatever they say there, you come to church, the priest, the way you are happy, praise God, God has visited us today, he sent us a message and this and that, you are very happy. But the next day, because the pastor said this or that to you, because the deacon did this or that to you, that same person who were rejoicing of the manner here, no, I won't come to church anymore. Why? Because they are still there. They are rejoicing of the Holy Spirit. They are rejoicing of the blessings of God, but they are still under the influence of what's going on behind them. They are still receiving the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, to come here in Israel, no foreigner could come over here in the court. From even getting to the fence here, you couldn't be a foreigner. It was only the Israelite that could come over there. So it means, if you are eating the manna from there, you are not a sinner. You are not a heathen. You are a circumcised Israelite. Because only circumcised Israelites could come here.
Sure.
They were the children of God. We are not dismissing you. We are not trying to dismiss anyone. You are a child of God. Amen. You love God. You love the word of God. But you still have some few steps to do.
Amen.
It was a real Israelite we have to come there. He was circumcised, circumcision, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But it was not the proper place to eat the man. That's why his attitude, his joy, the person was eating from here, his attitude was depending on the weather. If it's sunny here today, say, okay, that's fine, because God, today it's sunny. And
amen.
The next day it will be rainy. The same person who was happy, we praise God, the manna is nice, that same person is as to say, no, Moses, you were eating, you know, cucumber in Egypt. In Egypt, we had that masters, we had this and that. That same person, he was happy yesterday because he ate the manna. The next day, the same manna came, but since it was rainy, it was winter, he couldn't cover up himself or whatever, start complaining. Because we are still under the influence of natural light.
Yeah,
we are still under the influence of whatever going around you.
That's right.
There were some people who did better. They say, okay, I've seen that. It's okay. I can eat the manna today. I'm fine. I rejoice in the Lord. But the next day, I'm not happy. I need to do something. A real true Christian with a true experience of the Holy Ghost, he said, I want to consecrate myself. I want to hinder myself. I want to submit myself to God. They make the next step. They go over there. And they continue, they carry on eating the same man. It's not a different Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit, the true Holy Spirit, the true new birth. That's why sometimes we get so confused, we don't understand exactly what the new birth is. Because someone will start, you know, after the sermon, say, am I really born again? You start questioning yourself. The new birth is only a baby who is just born in the kingdom.
Amen.
So that baby, you still need to grow him to the maturity.
Yes, sir. Amen.
There is a time lapse between your new birth and your adoption. So many of us, we are still in somewhere in between.
That's right.
We have gone from our new birth. You have come to church. We praise God for that. We recommend you for that. You are not trying to blame anyone or to dismiss anyone.
Amen.
And don't look down on yourself.
No.
Amen.
You are a true son of God. You are a true daughter of God.
Amen.
But there's still a job to do. A new birth is just a baby who has been born. That baby needs to be dressed. That baby needs to be fed.
Amen.
That baby needs to be watered.
Amen.
So that he will grow up to the full adoption.
Amen.
Adoption is our aim. Adoption is where we are aiming to.
Amen.
So, you are born again. You are a true Christian. You've received the Holy Ghost. But you are still sitting there. You have spent too much time there. It's time now to move on. You still need to work on your experience. Because the tree of life is there waiting for you. You've seen you making the first step. Said, praise God. Thank you, my son. You have done. Thank you, my daughter. You have done the right thing to leave the world, to accept the word, to accept the message, to get baptized, to come to church. That's very good. You are eating the manna. But that manna won't do any good to you if you still keep your old relationships. That manna won't do any good to you if you still keep your the love of your old things. You have come here, you have eaten, but sometimes you are tempted to go behind the camp. Sometimes, but I want you to make a step further. So that person will come there, will sit there and start eating the manna, same manna, happy in the Lord, we praise God. And there was a different light. It's a higher life, a much better life. But the noise from outside is still coming. You are not at rest yet. The true rest isn't found in there. Because, remember, these candlesticks, when light, the way they were light, it was going from one to the other. You light up this one, and then the light from this one will light that one. And then, but what if there was no light there? Because there were days where the prophet says the oil could run out.
Amen.
So there's no more oil. So you were rejoicing over there, happy in the Lord. And, but what if the pastor backslides? We've seen it in the message.
Amen.
We've seen pastors backsliding. We have seen song leaders, musicians, deacons backsliding. What if one of the candles loses its light and it can't lit up the rest of the lights anymore? So it's still not the right place to eat the manna from. You are eating the manna there, but God wants you to make a step further. That's why Jesus, opening up to the people, was saying, I am the bread of life.
Amen.
I am that bread of life. Come and eat me. Don't get stumbled with my flesh. Because Jesus, we know, as a human being, he was three parts, as we know. Body, spirit, and soul.
Amen.
Many got stumbled because they were stuck just to see this flesh. And whatever that flesh was doing or saying, especially when it was not working according to their traditions, they get stumbled. They couldn't go away, go further to get to the tree of life. And if you read the Bible, these curtains here, they were made up of a certain skin, a certain animal skin, and it was smelly. This skin here, it was something, that animal was a very smelly animal. So you could get stumbled because the glory was sitting there. But to get to see the glory, you have to go through. Once you see just that skin of that animal, you get stumbled. You couldn't go anywhere because that's exactly what the life of the Lord Jesus Christ was. His birth, it was not a really... there was doubts about his birth. No one knew exactly who was his father. Some would say he was born of some Roman soldiers. So his flesh was a stumbling block. His own life on earth was a stumbling block for many.
Amen.
But those who were strong enough, those who were perseverant enough to break through that human flesh, they could go beyond and see the glory of the Shekinah. They could go beyond and see that cherubims that were sitting in the Garden of Eden walking on the streets of Nazareth. So, someone we saw from that scene there, many of these, they just stayed there. They ate the manna, they were happy. But it's the very same people, when Jesus was standing at the cross, many of the same people that ate the manna were saying, crucify him. crucify him, we want Barabbas. Even though they ate the manna, even though they were happy, even though they rejoiced in the Lord, but they were the same people, they didn't make the additional steps.
Mm.
They were the same people shouting, crucify him.
Mm.
Among this crowd, we can see there were other people who were not in the outer court. There were some people who were the in between. They said, okay, we can eat the manna, but the things this man is saying, there seem to be some truth in it. So let's just follow. They followed, they followed, they followed. But it came one day, Jesus said, this is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eat of this bread shall live forever.
Yes.
And the next verse, he says, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. So some were happy to eat the natural bread and eat and go. Others, when he started the doctrine, preaching and everything, they were happy. Okay, this word is good, it's good. So they entered the second stage. They could go, they could go past the flesh, they could go past the outer courts, and they were in the holy places. They were happy to accept some of the doctrine of Jesus. They were happy with the some of the teachings of Jesus. But when the main, the core of Jesus' teaching started, you have to eat my blood and drink my, to eat my flesh and drink my blood. They were, the Bible says, many therefore of disciples, when they heard him, said, this is enough saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciple murmured at it, he said unto them, do this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profited nothing.
Yes.
The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Amen.
Amen.
But there are some of you that believe it not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed it not and who should betray him. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
So they made an additional step, those ones. They were the 70 disciples. They were Judas Iscariot, was among those people. We could say, okay, they've accepted. They've not stopped at eating physical bread. They are following his doctrines. They are following his teaching. They are following, they are accepting the way back to rest. That's verified. But when time comes, when some teachings start not to go along what they were taught, what their traditions, when some teachings were not along with what his love for the world was, that person would just say, this world is too hard. I can't hold it anymore. You made an additional step. He went to the holy place, but from the holy place, there are still something. You are not sealed in yet completely.
Yes, that's right.
You may be happy, the disciples were happy, Judas Iscariot was happy to go and heal the sick and cast out devils and everything, but he was still not sealed in the holiest of the
world. Yes, right. Amen.
He was eating the manna, he was getting the blessing of God, but he was not at the right place yet to eat that manna.
Mm-hmm.
When the moment came, the 70 disciples, they said, no, this is too hard. For me, this message is fine. But when it comes to my trousers, no. I don't. After all, this is your, when winter comes, you need something to cover your legs. You can't come with your doctrine of dresses and the skirts. This word is too hard. I'm going to leave it. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
So, some will just go, and when it comes to accepting some prescriptions of the world, they just reject it. Some will show as if they are eating the manna, they are happy with the manna, they can, we can go for, are you okay? I'm okay. Will you eat my flesh? Yes, I will eat my, I will eat your flesh. Will you eat my blood? Will you drink my blood? Yes, I will drink. Will you do this? Yes, I will. They are still carrying. Matthew was there, Simon was there, John was there, Judas Iscariot was there.
Yes.
So when those ones left, people say, oh, now we have 12 left. They are going now, they are eating now from the holiest of the holies. But not all of them, one was not still entered the holiest of the holies.
Mm.
He was still eating the manna. He was happy, he was even the treasurer, you know, a very well-respected person. But he was not at rest yet. He was still struggling. He was still keeping some of his belongings he got from the traditions. He was still living his own life instead of living Christ's life.
Amen.
Christ who came to give rest, but him, he was still carrying his burdens. So, people could say, oh, that's very good. So now, the 12 here, they are very sanctified people. There's nothing you can say against them. They are in the holiest of the holies. But there was still that Judas who didn't make all the journey to the holiest of the holy, where the Shekinah glory would clear him. Because when you get there, where one of them says, it's not you. It's not you again. That's what Paul could say, as we read, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself to me. He gave himself for me. So when you get into God's rest, when you get into the holiest of the holiest, you recover that position that Adam lost in the garden. So whatever life you live, you will portray now the life of the image of God that was in the Garden of Eden. As we saw in the beginning, Adam didn't do any effort to be the image of God. Adam didn't do any work or whatever. Adam was there just as long as he was sitting under the tree of life. The tree of life was projecting its own life in Adam, and all what we could see was Adam speaking to the trees obeying. All that we could see was Adam naming animal. You will be called the lion. The animal said, amen. You will be called antelope. The animal says, amen. What was it? Adam was not making any effort. So the only way we can go back to that resting position is to go through all the way into the holiest of the
holies.
That's the resting place of the believer.
Amen.
If you make the way through Jesus Christ, who came to offer himself, that's the only way you can get back. Because there is no rest. There was no rest for Adam out of the Garden of Eden. There will be no rest for a believer until he goes back to that position where the tree of life is, where the cherubims are protecting the tree of life.
Amen.
So, the rest of the believer today can't be found anywhere else. We need to be in Christ. Being in Christ means, what Abraham says, you need to shut the world. You need, notice when Aaron went in there, in this holy place, in the holiest of the holies, the man who lived in there lived in perfection all the time. The manna was fresh. It didn't dry up. Neither did it get contaminated. And if you ever get to a place where you can be so hid away in God until the outside world is dead and the veil drops over you,
that's right.
You see what I mean?
Amen.
When the veil sheds you from the outside world, what you ever saw, was you ever so lost in Christ, so pray to into the world, you had no more to do with it at all. You walked humbly every day before Christ, loving him first. There is what you need. Them on the inside is the true man.
Amen.
So that's the place. Going through and getting shut down completely with the world.
Amen.
So how will I get shut down? Because I'm trying my best. I'm trying. The Bible says, what I want to say is, it's only through the new birth that you
have.
It's not by your own efforts. It's not by your words, because you will always fail.
That's right.
We will always fail.
Amen.
I've tried it. You know, I was in the Catholic Church. I was, you know, those, I don't know how you call it in English, those boys that stand behind the priest to give him communion or whatever. You know, I was doing that job, and we were told when we were preparing for our first communion that you have to count how many sins you commit a day and how many good works you do, you make a day. So you have to make the balance now. If you make one sin, you have to make sure that you help at least one poor guy or one elderly person, so it will compensate that sin. If you do this, every day your good works must
outweigh
your bad words.
Amen.
So that's the way we were taught. And we're trying to do our best. Do this, do that. We're not doing it because it was coming from the inside, but it was something that we were told we need to do that to earn eternal life.
Amen.
But every time you were on way, you always feel the condemnation inside of you. You don't have that peace of mind. You don't have that peace of your heart.
Amen.
Because you are trying to do it by yourself.
Amen.
Cain tried to do it by himself. What did it produce? It produced hatred.
That's right.
Because when you are trying to do it by yourself, you see, how come this brother is always lives a good life, never tried to struggle, is always happy, but me today, I do this, I'm a good Christian, tomorrow, I do that, it may bring hatred to us. What does it want to show? So every day he goes to church to pray, he thinks we are not believers. It's only her. What does he think? Because you are trying to do it by yourself. Cain tried to do it by himself. He saw his brother giving a good offering. God accepted it. You know what mistake Cain did? When he saw his brother's offering being accepted, what he should have done was just to go to his brother.
Amen.
Say, my brother, I saw your offering being accepted. What did you do? It was as simple as that. Can you tell me what you did so that your offering was accepted, so that I can do it myself too?
Amen.
But instead of doing that, him said, okay, what does he want to show? He doesn't know that I'm going to call that away. He doesn't know that I was told about God before him. He was born here. I saw him when he was born. So today, since his offering was accepted, that's why from that day he started looking me with some, you know, eyes of this. He started bringing hatred in me.
Yes, amen.
What you can do, my brother, what you can do, my sister, if you see your brother prospering, go and ask him, my sister, what did you do to live such a victorious life?
Amen.
My brother, what did you do to live such a victorious life?
Amen.
Your brother will tell you, I got shut myself down.
Mm.
I got shut off of the world. I got born the new birth in my soul. I'm living over there.
Amen.
If you want to portray the same life I'm portraying, please, I will show you the way.
Amen.
Let's go to church. Let's go and pray. Let's listen to the message. Let's
Amen.
Do the Your brother will show you.
Mm.
Because he's got a new life in him. He's got a different life in him. He doesn't have that life of pride anymore.
Mm.
Because if you see someone living a good life and pride himself for that, he's still there.
Mm.
It's not Christ living in him.
Hey,
because
man.
Paul could say, it's not me, but Christ living in me.
Yeah.
And whatever victorious life Paul was living, he was not priding himself for that.
Mm.
He didn't get any pride out of the life he was living, because Paul, his life, it was not him doing the job.
Amen.
It was that Christ he had met in the
world.
He living in him,
amen.
God was at rest. Amen. That's why he couldn't, you know, he couldn't take any pride, he couldn't take any personal merit for that.
Mm.
So that's why when you see your brother, when you see someone, that's a very good sign. No, me. You know, like the Pharisees, I fast 5 times a week. You know me, I am a PhD in this, me, I know God, me. That person is still there.
Mm-hmm.
Because over there, what they do today, do there? Over there is just, you see people live there, bullocks, and I don't know, goats, and it's labor here.
Yeah.
And when he comes from here back home, very quiet. You know, I've been there. My sins are gone, you know. You know, and my bullock. Mm. And that one. So, that was it. You are still priding yourself. You are still taking advantage of being in the presence, taking it as if it was your own world.
Mm.
But that person who was living there, Paul and all the disciples, they were resting. They knew. It's not me.
Amen.
It's Christ.
Amen.
I can't take anything. I can't say anything about it. It's Christ living his life. His
own
life.
Amen.
So, my brothers, sisters, if we want to live that victorious life, there's only one way. God wants to rest. God will rest if I am in his image. That's what produced God's rest in the garden. When all the creation was perfect, everything was fine. He created animals. It was okay. Water, seas, and the light. Everything it was fine. But there was still something not working for me. It still had to work. He did this. It looked, that's fine. But I still need to do something. He did that. Okay, that's fine. But I still need to do something. But when he created man, he looked. He said, okay. My image, I can see myself in there.
Mm.
I have to rest now.
Amen.
Now, for me to rest, the only condition, because as a Christian, as a believer, I want to give God rest. Because Paul says in Hebrews, God is looking for a resting place, as Brother Maxwell said. God is looking for a resting place. And that resting place is you and me. Mm. It's my heart and your heart. For that heart to be the resting place of God, I have to bring it back to the image of God that it was in the garden.
Amen.
And to get back to the image of God it was in the garden, we have to go through the veil.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go in the presence of the cherubims who said himself he came on earth and says, I am the bread of life.
Amen.
Come to me because I will give you rest.
Mm-hmm.
So if we understand that as believers, that's the only way we can live the life of Christ.
Amen.
That's the only way we can live a victorious life.
Amen.
Is to go back and to accept,
amen,
this free salvation that he has brought, amen, to us. Is no, there's no requirement of anything.
Thank you, Lord.
He doesn't want you to do anything. It's not about our words.
Right.
It's not about me or you trying to do this or the pastor trying to push you to do something. If it's here that the priest was pushing people to do, come with your bullock. Come. Pull it. And the bullock would be maybe assisting. It was there where the priest could come and help you. But when you go over there, the priest doesn't have anything to do with it.
Amen.
The priest could help you there, pull. The priest could help you there, but over there, it was you alone with God.
Amen.
And once you have made it with the help of the brethren, of the sisters, and you have made it there, you start now producing the life that was in Christ.
Amen.
That's the way to your adoption. That's the way to the manifestation of Jesus Christ in you. Where Adam in the garden, he could speak things to existence. That's the only way. Because don't forget, we are destined to produce the restoration of the children of God today.
Amen.
We are destined to manifest the children of God today. So your new birth, it's a good thing, it's a good experience, but let's go a step further.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Forget about the things of the world. Forget about our whole habit. Let's throw away. Sometimes as a believer, it's not only spiritually that you need to be shut away from the world, but even physically.
Amen.
How can you live a victorious Christian life if you don't know how to live yourself, to stand alone in the presence of the living God?
Amen.
Christian life is not just coming to church. It's okay, it's good, standing here singing. But there are times where you are supposed to be shut off, alone, in the presence of God. That's the only way you can get through there.
Amen.
Because when you are there, maybe in church, I may want to impress someone. Ah, but there is praying. He prays very, very. He prays a lot. It may just be an impression. I don't blame anyone for praying a lot. A true Christian prays.
Amen.
But a true life of Christ, it manifests itself when you are shut alone with God.
Amen.
It's there that you have your best experiences with
Amen.
God. Your brother can help you. Brother George can help you. Brother Maxwell can help you. Yes, you need some time to encourage each other. Let's go and pray. Let's go and listen to the message. That's how you can, it's a training ground. But the real battle is when you shut yourself off.
Amen.
Stand and sit yourself in that holy ground until you see something happening.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The baptism of the Holy Ghost, yes, it's fine. You may have it. I'm happy I received the Holy Ghost. I'm born again. It's okay. But that's not your destination. The Pentecostal people, they have the Holy Ghost. But when I'm saying they have the Holy Ghost, but does that mean they have reached the adoption?
No.
No. We have to walk towards our adoption.
Amen.
To get there, the adoption is the resting position of God. And to get there, Adam was an adopted son of God, and to manifest that adoption in him, he produced the life of God.
Amen.
He was reigning, he was ruling over the universe. Me and you, our destiny, our aim is the adoption. And to get there, the way is there. Shut down, hide, hidden with Christ in his presence, in the presence of the glory of the Shekinah. That's the only way to get there.
Amen.
You can stand on our feet.
Amen.
This is my story. This is my song.
Father, with you, O Lord God, over our long, Father, for it, Lord, tonight, O God, Lord, How the strength of Father long, Lord, to be shouting, O Lord, with you, O Lord, God, Lord. Yeah. Oh, Father, that's some proof of Father reaching, O Lord, God, Lord. Yeah. Oh, well, Lord, Father, this world, O Lord, we tend, O Lord, and bless, O God, Lord. Yeah. Well, we love, Father, no heal, Lord, Father, the tens of this flesh, O Lord, God, Lord. Yeah. But Father, only what, Lord, the soul will have a Father may say unto us, O God, Lord. Yeah. But we know, Lord, it's not the soul, but it's you, O Lord, and the soul, Lord, God, Lord. Oh, speaking unto us, O Lord, God, Father. Grant us your grace, O Lord, God. That we may hear that still small voice, O Lord, God. The Lord, we may abide by it, O Lord, God, Lord. The Father, we may live by it, O Lord, God. Oh, for that little voice, O Lord, it's your voice, O Lord, God. In this last age, O Lord, God. And that's what we want to hear, O Father, and walk by, O God. Father, grant us your grace, O Lord, tonight, O Lord. Everyone will be in here, O Lord, God. Those who not be here, Lord, we come to them in tonight's hands, O Lord, God. Oh, for Lord, we are one body, O Lord, God, O Father, Lord. And Lord, our hands cannot move on its own, O Lord, God, Lord. Oh, night at the legs, O Father, Lord, God. But Lord, we need to be complete, O Father, Lord, God, Lord. Oh, so we come in a prayer and into your hands, O Lord, this day, O God, Lord. The Father, Lord, in us, you sent your word, O Lord, God. And grant us this portion, O Lord, God, Lord. The Lord, somewhere, Lord, God, they also may receive it, O Lord, God. The Father, we all may draw nigh into that inner part, O Father, Lord, God, Lord. And we'll be shouting, O Father, Lord, God, Lord. Then we'll move, O Lord, in our perfect harmony, O Lord, God, Lord. Now please it unto you, O Lord, God, Lord. Now when we meet, O Father, Lord, God, Lord. O Lord, you may condescend in our midst, O Lord, God, Lord. That your presence, O Lord, may come down so mighty, O Lord. O Father, we will see, O Lord, God, once again, Lord, God. O that Pentecost, that revival, Lord, God, Lord. In our midst, O Father, once again, Lord. O Father, that is why, Lord, God, you send this message, O Lord, God. And Father, we desire, Lord, God. O to go back, O Father, once again, Lord. We ask your grace, O Father, tonight, O Lord, God. Bless us now, O Father, Lord, God, Lord. Bless your people, Lord, every prayer, every sister, Lord, God, Lord. And in need, O Father, that be, Lord, God, and upon every heart, O Lord, God. Lord, we lift it up before thee, O Lord, God. For, Lord, you see, O Heavenly Father, that secret, O Lord, God. Every prayer, Father, Lord, God, Lord. That you may minister, Lord, and grant, O Father, Lord, God, and receive in your Lord, God, Lord. And abandon thee, Lord, to your sons and daughters this day, O God, Lord. Bless yourself unto, Lord, God, Lord. Who was too faithful, O Lord, God, Lord. And has labored, O Father, this day, O God, Lord. We commit him, O Lord, into thine hands, O Father, God, Lord. Grant him your grace, O Lord, God. Oh, replenish him, O Lord, God, Lord. Oh, continue to use him, O Father, God, Lord. Lay him aside, O Father, God, Lord. But also, Lord, dwell in that holy place, O Lord, God, Lord. Oh, receive that man that ran its house, O Father, God, not, O Lord. That he may bring it to your people, O Father, God, Lord. Oh, that we may be fed, O Lord, God, Lord. We pray for the ministry, O Lord, God, Lord. Our pastor, Lord, God, Lord. Open a match, O Lord, Father, God, Lord. And as men and ministers, Lord, grant your grace, O Lord, God, Lord. Upon them, O Lord, God, Lord, Father. That may feed us, O Lord, God, with a hidden man, O Lord, God, Lord. That each day, O Lord, God, Lord, Father, but we may come, O Father, yet, O Lord, God, Lord. It may be new, O Lord, Father, we know, O Lord, God, Lord, that we'll never run out, O Lord, this day, O Lord, God, Lord. Grant us your grace, O Lord. Bless the deacons, O Father, God, Lord. The trustees, O Father, God, Lord. O musicians, song leaders, O Lord. Grant us your grace, O Lord, God. The Lord, we may continue, Lord, in your work, O Father, this day, O Lord, God. We commit it all on the turn hands, O Father, God. Give us your power, Lord. We pass not from your presence, O God. But we pray that you may go with us, O Lord, God. Amen. You may keep us, O Lord, on our way, O Father, homes, O Lord, God, Lord. The Lord, as we go, Father God, indeed, O Lord, we may shout ourselves in, O Lord God. Let this word, O Father, may not just be, O Lord God, Lord. The words that we hear, O Father God, Lord. But Lord, we desire to act upon these words, O Lord God, Lord. That they may be made, O Father, flesh in us, O Lord God, Lord. We want to receive them in our souls, O Lord God, Lord. Make, O Father, pardon, Lord, we pray tonight, O Lord God, Lord. That we may live in all the same, O Lord, renewed, O Lord God. For indeed, O Lord Jesus, O God, Lord, you fulfilled that word once again, O Lord God. And you've met with us, O Lord God, as you promised, O Lord, in your word. And we thank you for it, O Lord God. Bless your people now, O Father, Lord God, and keep us now, for we commit it all into thy hands. In the blessed and holy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
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 Oh, Amen.